Chapter 9. Meyer had told me not to flash my money to avoid raising suspicion, and while there were a lot of improvements I wanted to make to the house, replacing all of the 1970s furniture being one of them, I decided to start small. I figured it wouldn't raise too many questions to start replacing the fence, since it was in disrepair, and once the new privacy fence was up, I could tackle the entrance to the tunnels without Mrs. Whitmire peeking over the fence to watch me anytime she liked. "I'm going to go out and get some wood to fix up a new fence," I told Ibseth as she washed the breakfast dishes in her new maid's outfit. "Would you like to come?" I knew she'd mostly only seen the house and was probably getting bored being stuck at home all the time, and we'd manage the Walmart trip fine, so I thought it would be okay.
Perhaps not, but thank you, Eddie.
The elven woman replied with a shy smile.
The sunlight still hurts my eyes. Is there anything you would like me to do here, my love?
If you want to, I said, as I put on my shoes. You can start gathering up some of these old newspapers in the living room, and the junk we sorted through in the spare room yesterday. I'll have to get a dumpster or something for the old fencing anyway, and we can get rid of it all in one go.
Then that is what I will do,
my wife said as she placed a clean plate in the dish rack. I won't be long, I said. The closest hardware store that will have what I want on hand is in the next town. Hopefully it won't take long to deliver, because I won't be able to haul all that wood in my truck. The backyard wasn't wide, but it was long, and I wanted to make sure the fence was high enough to prevent the nosy old woman next door from spying on us anymore.
Very well, my love,
Ibseth said.
I will miss you while you are away from me.
I stood, walked over to my wife, and kissed her. I love you, I said, as I tried on the phrase again to see how good it felt.
And I love you, Eddie Hill,
Ibseth said back to me, and I could see that love glittering deep in her purple eyes. I left the house with a big smile on my face, got into the truck, and drove to the big hardware store in Elyria. There was something about the smell of wood and metal in a big hardware store that always reminded me of my dad. As a kid, I'd hated going there with him, but I was starting to see the appeal. I walked back toward the big lumber yard in the back of the store, and I glanced at the appliances and bathroom fixtures as I passed. I thought about how I would remodel the outdated kitchen and bathroom after I had sold my gold, and I wondered how Ibseth would respond to a fridge with an ice maker in the door. The elven woman had also talked about wanting to plant a garden, so I thought about building some raised vegetable beds before next spring. But much higher on the list would be replacing the bedroom furniture, so we wouldn't have to sleep on my grandpa's old mattress anymore. As I came out into the lumberyard, a man in an orange vest with a long beard approached me.
"How can I help you?"
the bearded man asked. "I was looking to replace a fence, Alan," I replied, as I looked at the man's name tag. "I was thinking of using cedar."
"Redwood is the best,"
the man in the vest said in a professional tone. And he was right. I'd done enough residential construction work to know. But redwood would also cost an arm and a leg, and I had a lot of ground to cover. My whole half acre wasn't fenced in currently, probably because Grandpa had been on a fixed income and couldn't afford to put a fence around the whole property. I planned to eventually, but I only had a little over 8,000 to work with, and I needed some left over for covering the tunnel entrance.
That's true, I agreed.
But I'm on a budget. I was hoping for about 400 feet worth of treated cedar. I would have to use some of the existing fence that was still in good shape. Sanding and restaining the old wood would be a pain in the ass, but it would save me some money for now. If I put up the new, taller lengths of fence on the sides with neighbors, that would suit my needs. Alan helped me find some fencing and took out a calculator to figure out the costs, which came to a little under $4,000. I shuddered a little, but I had to remind myself I was still in the investment phase. I had lots more gold to sell, and I knew I would go back to the gloom again. Alan told me he could have the fencing delivered the next day, and as he got everything ready with the delivery, I went around the store and got some wood stain for the existing portions of fence I planned to rescue. I was also thinking about putting in a door for an underground shelter of sorts, I said to Alan as he rang me up. Would you have any suggestions? I'd done a fair amount of construction work and knew I could probably figure it out myself, but it wasn't something I'd done before. What exactly do you have in mind? The bearded man asked. Like a storm shelter? Not exactly, I replied, as I pulled out my wallet. I'd like something substantial I could lock, like a hatch. Like a doomsday bunker? Alan said without a pause. I guess, I shrugged. Don't worry, the man in the orange vest said as he leaned in conspiratorially. We get you prepper types in here all the time. You probably have to order something like that. But a few people I know have gone through the Amish. The Amish? I repeated with a confused frown. Yeah, Alan said as he handed me a card. They're very discreet, and I have a few regulars who have gone through them to build their bunkers. I could get you a number. Even though it was commonplace these days, the fact the Amish had cell phones always seemed weird to me. I'd heard it had something to do with an allowance for using some modern technology in order to do business, but I'd never actually met an Amish person before. There was a first time for everything, though. So, with a number for an Amish contractor and my wood stain, I went home to Ibseth. And I was ready for a hard day's work tomorrow. Putting in a new fence was a big project for one man, and I didn't want to leave it half-finished, because I knew the neighbor kids already had a habit of coming into my yard. So I got an early start the next day, tearing up the old fence while I waited for my delivery, and I also sorted out the portions I could use again. It was sweaty work at the height of summer, but by the time the wood was delivered, I had most of the old fence pulled up. I helped the guys from the hardware store unload the boxes of fencing, and then I got back to work. Inevitably, Mrs. Whitmire came out and watched my efforts with a sour expression as she pretended to look after her back garden, but I chose to ignore her as I finished pulling down the old fence. Once I was done, I started to raise the new fence.
Hi there!
I heard a woman's voice say. I turned and saw a plump woman in her 30s coming out of the miller's house with a pie in her hand, and she waved at me. Hello. I stood from where I was sorting through the boxes of fencing and waved back. The woman had a sweet face and tasteful makeup on, and her blonde hair fell in waves around her shoulders. I assumed she was David's wife, so I walked over to the line where the old fence had been to introduce myself.
You look busy,
the blonde woman said pleasantly as she glanced around at the shallow ditch where my fence had been.
I'm Jessie. I believe you've met my husband and Jenny.
Yeah, I said with a smile. I'm Eddie, but I guess you already know that.
I've heard,
Jessie said.
Mrs. Whitmire came over the other day and you came up.
Jessie rolled her eyes, and I got the impression the plump woman didn't like our nosy neighbor either. Oh, really? I chuckled.
Yes, she was all worked up.
The blonde laughed lightly.
Something about your girlfriend, and now she thinks she's an elf or something.
Jessie's tone made it clear she hadn't taken the gossip seriously. That's sort of true, actually, I said, as I scratched the back of my head. She's really into the whole cosplay and live-action role-playing thing, but she's a sweet person, really. just kinda quirky. I wanted nothing more than for Ibseth to have as close to a normal life with me as possible. But I knew there was still a lot she had to learn about the modern world, and I would have to prepare the neighbors for some of the stranger things she might say.
Oh, that's fun,
Jessie replied with absolute sincerity.
I used to do the whole LARPing thing in the woods with friends before I met David.
Really? I said in surprise. There in her tank top and yoga pants, Jessie Miller looked like a regular soccer mom, and I couldn't picture the woman in a cloak in the Ohio woods with a sword made out of foam.
Oh, sure,
the blonde said with an embarrassed smile.
I don't anymore, you know, kids and all, but I follow some of those cosplay girls on social media. Some of them are just amazing and so creative. Does your girlfriend post pictures of her work anywhere?
Not really, I grinned. She's very shy. Just does it for herself.
That's nice,
Jessie said sweetly.
Oh, I made this for you. Kind of a welcome to the neighborhood thing.
Jessie handed me the pie in her hands, and it was genuinely the first time someone had said that, and I actually felt welcomed. Thank you, I said, as I smelled the fragrance of apples and cinnamon. That's really nice of you.
There was one little thing,
the blonde said with a wince.
Jenny told me her ball fell into your yard, and when she came over to get it, you said something about an old mine shaft in your yard.
Oh, I said, as I looked up from the delicious-looking pie. Yeah, but don't worry. I'm fixing up the fence because I noticed a couple of holes where the kids had been coming through. And I'm going to have the shaft sealed up before long.
That's a relief,
Jessie sighed, as she put a hand over her ample chest.
And sorry about the kids. I can't tell you how many times I told them to stay out of other people's yards.
It's not a big deal, I said, as I shook my head. I just wouldn't want any of them to get hurt.
I appreciate that,
the blonde smiled.
I'll let you get back to it, but I look forward to meeting your girlfriend. What did you say her name was?
Ibseth, I replied.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Jessie cooed.
You have a good day now.
You too, I smiled. And thanks again for the pie. Jessie Miller smiled and waved one last time, and then she headed back next door. I took the pie into the house, and Ibseth was in the kitchen when I walked in.
What is it that you have, my love?
Ibseth asked as I stepped into the kitchen. One of the neighbors gave us a pie, I replied. I think it's apple.
It smells wonderful,
the elven woman said as she sniffed the baked good.
Like pippins, spiced with cassia bark.
Grab a couple plates, I said, as I set the pie on the counter. We'll give it a try. As the blue-skinned beauty got some plates from the cabinet, I pulled out a knife and cut some small slices out of the pie. Then I served us each a slice and watched as Ibseth took her first bite.
Mmm, this tastes exactly like pippin pie,
she gasped as her face brightened, and she took another bite.
But it is sweeter than what I have had before.
What's a pippin? I asked as I took a bite. It was a really good pie, and tasted like Jessie had made it from scratch.
They are round, golden-colored fruits that grow on certain trees in the gloom.
Sounds kind of like an apple to me, I replied. Only here, there are a bunch of different kinds. Red, yellow, and green ones. I'm not sure what kind the neighbor lady used to make this, but it's good.
It is the best pie I have ever tasted,
the elven woman agreed. The dumpster I'd rented showed up shortly after that. As I was helping the guy delivering the big container back into the yard, I heard a terrible cacophony start up at one of the houses across the cul-de-sac from me, and I looked around to see what it was. In an open garage, sort of catty-corner from my place, there was a group of teenage boys trying to play something that sounded almost like death metal music. There were about four of them, One beating up a cheap drum kit, two on some shitty old guitars, and one playing a bass guitar that looked like it was being held together with duct tape. I smiled to myself. Mrs. Whitmire must have hated that a group of greasy-haired young boys were trying to start a band. And sure enough, it was about 2 seconds before she was out on her porch, curlers in her hair, shouting at the top of her lungs.
"You hoodlums, turn that down this instant!"
she shrieked.
"Don't make me call your poor mother!"
I was pretty sure the kids wouldn't be able to hear her over their second-hand amps, but I quickly went back into the backyard since I didn't want any part of the old woman's fury. As I started to settle the new fencing into the post holes of the old ones, there was a noticeable drop in the volume of the neighbor boy's practice session, and I figured Mrs. Whitmire had made good on her threats. I kept on with my work as the afternoon grew hotter, and eventually Ipseth came out with some cold water for me.
"How is your work coming, my love?"
the elven woman asked. Luckily, she was wearing a t-shirt and leggings I'd gotten her, instead of her new maid's outfit. "I got the sides done," I replied, "and now it's just the back portion to do. After dinner, we can throw some of the junk in the house into the dumpster so they can haul it away tomorrow."
"As you like,"
the blue-skinned woman said with a nod. When I was done with the fence, I went inside and took a shower while my beautiful wife made supper. This was a life I could get used to. Ipseth was starting to use salt and spices in her cooking, thankfully, but she was still dialing the proportion in. Still, I ate without saying anything, since I was just happy to have someone who cared enough about me to put in that effort. "Once the next planting season comes around," I said, as we ate together on the couch, "I think I've picked out a place to put in the garden you mentioned."
"That would be lovely,"
the elven woman sighed as she curled up next to me with her plate.
"I'm not sure how different it will be, raising plants here on the surface."
"Well, we'll both have a lot to learn then," I replied, as I took another bite of the casserole-like dish the white-haired woman had made. "I've never gardened much, but we'll try to find some vegetables similar to what's in the gloom. I'd like to try my hand at growing some hot peppers, too, just for fun." Since I'd gotten an early start on the day, it was only a little after 5 in the evening, so I tried to call the Amish contractor and tick another item off my long, personal list of things to do.
"Yoder construction,"
a deep, masculine voice answered.
"This is Isaac."
The gentleman on the other end didn't have the kind of Pennsylvania Dutch accent I'd expected. Isaac just sounded like any other Midwestern man I had ever spoken to. "Hi," I said into the phone. "My name is Eddie Hill. I got this number from a guy at the hardware store and was told you're the people to speak to about putting in a door for an underground bunker." I figured I would stick to the whole doomsday prepper bit, since that seemed to cut through a lot of questions. I explained what I wanted, something sturdy enough to not be easily broken into, that would fit over the existing opening, and was anchored into the rock, and definitely something I could lock from the outside or the inside as needed.
"I don't think that will be a problem," Isaac replied. "We've done similar work before. When would you like it installed?"
"As soon as you can, I guess." The Amish gentleman said he had something on hand he thought would work and quoted me a price for material, which wasn't as high as I'd expected, but would wipe out the last of the money from the ring. But I had plenty of more gold to sell.
"Since we have what we need on hand," Isaac said on the other end, "we might be able to fit you in tomorrow. It'd be early in the morning, though. I have another job in the afternoon. Is 7 a.m. too early for you?"
"Nope. Sounds perfect," I replied. I'd heard about the Amish being efficient, but I was impressed he'd be able to fit me in that quickly. After I got off the phone with Isaac Yoder, I mentally checked off sealing the tunnel entrance and got to work clearing out some of the old junk from the house with Ibseth. "I think it's cool for you to come outside whenever you want now," I said as we carried armloads of old magazines out to the dumpster. "Pretty sure the neighbors have bought the story about you being a cosplayer."
"It will be nice to enjoy the sunlight,"
the elven woman said as she threw her load into the big blue dumpster on top of the old fencing.
"But the light still hurts my eyes a little."
"Hopefully that won't last much longer," I said sympathetically as I threw more magazines in. "I'd really like for you to be happy up here."
"I am happy, Eddie,"
my wife said as she flashed me a radiant grin.
"If for no other reason than you are here."
I smiled and kissed her before we headed back into the house. "I'm not sure how to say this," I said as I hedged a little, "because I don't want to hurt your feelings."
"Say whatever you mean to,"
Ibseth replied as she grabbed an old toaster from the junk room.
"I will take it how you mean it, and I know you would never mean to hurt me."
"Well," I said, as I picked up one of the broken kitchen chairs, "you should probably be careful what you say to anyone at first. Obviously, you can't say anything about the gloom. That's just for us to know about, or there could be trouble."
"What sort of trouble?"
the blue-skinned woman asked as she turned back to look at me curiously. "I'm not entirely sure, really," I said honestly. "If people knew there was an underground world down here, filled with gold and monsters, they'd either want a piece of it or to destroy it."
"What?"
Ibseth froze. "Greed and fear are the same up here as they are in the gloom," I explained as I looked at her. "Not all humans are nice, and it would just be safer if we can keep it a secret."
"I will be guided by you in this, then, husband,"
the violet-eyed woman said. "If anyone asks, you're a human woman who likes to dress as an elf for fun," I said in a gentle tone. "Don't answer any questions about where you're from, and if you think anyone seems too interested, just walk away from the conversation. The Millers seem nice enough, but you'll probably want to avoid too many conversations with old Mrs. Whitmire or that Stanton guy."
"I will do that, Eddie,"
Ibseth said with a nod. "As you get used to life up here, it won't seem so complicated," I went on, as I put down the chair and took one of the elven woman's delicate hands. "If anyone asks where you're from, just say something vague like, 'The old country.' I don't want you to have to live trapped in this house. We just have to figure out how to navigate all this together."
"Together, my love,"
Ibseth said as she looked up sweetly at me from under her long lashes. After my new wife and I were done clearing things out of the house, I felt lighter, with one more thing crossed off the list. I thought it would be fun to show Ibseth an epic fantasy film I'd always enjoyed, and let her see what humans had guessed elves, fairies, and orcs would be like if they were real. At the start of the movie, my elf princess found the whole thing hilarious and pointed out the details she found to be the most ridiculous. But eventually, Ibseth was swept away by the story and the stunning visuals, especially the tragic romantic subplot. When the bittersweet ending rolled around, there were tears in the blue-skinned woman's eyes, and she sniffled as the credits rolled. I kissed away Ibseth's tears, and we went to bed, slowly made love as we explored each other's bodies, and then fell asleep in one another's arms. But thoughts of adventure and going back to the gloom had started to creep back into my head. This time, it wasn't even the draw of treasure that compelled me. There was something about the dark, twisted forests and the idea of fighting strange, sinister foes that drew my mind down into the tunnels. I needed to go back to the gloom, just to see what else was down there, and prove something to myself.